You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now present Christian Roots, hosted by Eliseo Zampanti.
Father Razzi of the Order of Camaldolese relates that a certain youth, having lost his father, was sent by his mother to the court of a prince. The mother, who had a great devotion to Mary, when she parted with him, made him promise to recite every day a Hail Mary. And to add these words, Blessed Virgin, help me in the hour of my death. That same youth arrived at court, but soon began to lead so dissolute a life that his master was obliged to send him away. In despair, without means of support, he went into the country and became a highway robber. But even then he did not omit to recommend himself to Our Lady, as his mother had directed him. At length he fell into the hands of justice and was condemned to death. Being in prison, the evening before his execution, and thinking of his disgrace, the grief of his mother, and the death which awaited him, he fell to weeping bitterly. The devil, seeing him so oppressed by melancholy, appeared to him in the form of a beautiful young man, and said to him that he would release him from death and prison if he would follow his directions. The convict engaged to do all that he required. Then the pretended youth made known to him that he was the devil and had come to his assistance. In the first place, he ordered him to renounce Jesus Christ and the holy sacraments. The youth consented. He then required him to renounce the Virgin Mary and her protection. "This," exclaimed the young man, "I will never do." And turning to Mary, he repeated the accustomed prayer that his mother had taught him, "Blessed Virgin, help me in the hour of my death." At these words, the devil disappeared. The youth remained in great affliction for the wickedness he had committed in denying Jesus Christ. He invoked the Blessed Virgin, and she obtained for him, by her prayers, a great sorrow for all his sins, so that he made his confession with much weeping and contrition. On his way to the gallows, happening to pass before a statue of Mary, he saluted her with his usual prayer, "Blessed Virgin, help me in the hour of my death." And the statue, in the presence of all, inclined its head and saluted him. Deeply moved, he begged to be allowed to kiss the feet of the image. The executioners refused, but afterwards consented on account of the clamor of the people. The youth stooped to kiss her feet, and Mary extended her arm from that statue, took him by the hand, and held him so strongly that no power could move him. At this prodigy, the multitude shouted, "Pardon, pardon!" and pardon was granted. Having returned to his country, he led an exemplary life and was always most devoted to Mary, who had delivered him from temporal and eternal death. In the faith of this young man, who had led so dissolute a life and wicked a life, be found in my parish and yours today. Good morning and welcome to Christian Roots here on Radio Maria, where we explore why we do what we do and why we believe what we believe through the writings of the ancient church fathers, saints, and mystics of the church. Writings that have become neglected by too many Catholics today. Writings that one may say we have placed in the closet and shut the door upon. And yet these writings of the great saints and mystics of the church are filled with most extraordinary insight and reflections on the faith, on Holy Mother Church, on our Lord, the King of Kings, and upon the Blessed Mother, the Queen of Queens, Queen of Heaven, and the Queen of our hearts.
Oh,
are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now continue with the program, Christian Roots, hosted by Eliseo Zampanti.
Father Razzi of the Order of Camaldolese relates that a certain youth, having lost his father, was sent by his mother to the court of a prince. The mother, who had a great devotion to Mary, when she parted with him, made him promise to recite every day a Hail Mary. And to add these words, Blessed Virgin, help me in the hour of my death. That same youth arrived at court, but soon began to lead so dissolute a life that his master was obliged to send him away. In despair, without means of support, he went into the country and became a highway robber. But even then, he did not omit to recommend himself to Our Lady, as his mother had directed him. At length, he fell into the hands of justice and was condemned to death. Being in prison, the evening before his execution, and thinking of his disgrace, the grief of his mother, and the death which awaited him, he fell to weeping bitterly. The devil, seeing him so oppressed by melancholy, appeared to him in the form of a beautiful young man, and said to him that he would release him from death and prison if he would follow his directions. The convict engaged to do all that he required. Then the pretended youth made known to him that he was the devil and had come to his assistance. In the first place, he ordered him to renounce Jesus Christ and the Holy Sacraments. The youth consented. He then required him to renounce the Virgin Mary and her protection. "This," exclaimed the young man, "I will never do." And turning to Mary, he repeated the accustomed prayer that his mother had taught him, "Blessed Virgin, help me in the hour of my death." At these words, the devil disappeared. The youth remained in great affliction for the wickedness he had committed in denying Jesus Christ. He invoked the Blessed Virgin, and she obtained for him, by her prayers, a great sorrow for all his sins, so that he made his confession with much weeping and contrition. On his way to the gallows, happening to pass before a statue of Mary, he saluted her with his usual prayer, "Blessed Virgin, help me in the hour of my death." And the statue, in the presence of all, inclined its head and saluted him. Deeply moved, he begged to be allowed to kiss the feet of the image. The executioners refused, but afterwards consented on account of the clamor of the people. The youth stooped to kiss her feet, and Mary extended her arm from that statue, took him by the hand, and held him so strongly that no power could move him. At this prodigy, the multitude shouted, "Pardon, pardon!" And pardon was granted. Having returned to his country, he led an exemplary life and was always most devoted to Mary, who had delivered him from temporal and eternal death. Can the faith of this young man, who had led so dissolute a life and wicked a life, be found in my parish and yours today? Good morning and welcome to Christian Roots here on Radio Maria, where we explore why we do what we do and why we believe what we believe through the writings of the ancient church fathers, saints, and mystics of the church. writings that have become neglected by too many Catholics today. Writings that one may say we have placed in the closet and shut the door upon. And yet these writings of the great saints and mystics of the Church are filled with most extraordinary insight and reflections on the faith, on Holy Mother Church, on our Lord, the King of Kings, and upon the Blessed Mother, the Queen of Queens, Queen of Heaven, and the Queen of our hearts.
You are listening to Christian Roots, here on Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are. To contact us, email christianroots@radiomaria.ca. We now continue with the program. Here once again is your host, Eliseo Zampanti.
Before continuing on in this book of St. Alphonsus Liguori, Just a reflection. If one were to go back and reread, or should I say, reflect upon the various approved Marian apparitions throughout the last century or so, there's one thing that seems to be rather constant in this, and it's just something I've continued to reflect upon and mention upon and speak upon in the Bible studies that I do in my parish. But there's a common element which needs repeating with respect to the messages of the Blessed Mother. And this is these are messages of warning to us wayward children. In those approved apparitions over and over again, whether it is even at La Salette, at Fatima, at Our Lady of Akita, other apparitions, our Blessed Mother is continually pleading for us to pray, make sacrifices, make reparation for the sins of man. Whereby, as I've mentioned previously in the Old Testament, God sent his prophets to warn Israel when they had strayed from God, and to warn them of the coming judgment and chastisement that would befall them if they did not repent and turn away from their sins. Today, in these days, our Lord sends his Blessed Mother. Now think of this. Is God more serious when he sends prophets about his intentions of divine justice hanging over us? Was he more serious when he sent his prophets, or was he more serious when he sends his mother to warn us of divine justice hanging over us if we do not repent of our sins? And yet at Fatima and Akita and in other apparitions, the Blessed Mother keeps warning us. Repent, pray, make sacrifices, or else the Lord, God, will bring a chastisement upon us. And I have said previously in previous programs, reparation is when we voluntarily get on our knees and humbly ask for repentance. Beg and repent for our sins. Chastisement is when God forces prideful men to their knees. Reparation is when we get on our knees voluntarily. Chastisement is when God forces us to our knees because we are unwilling to repent. And it seems like the Blessed Mother, Heaven, is telling us one thing, and yet we in the church today are carrying on as if the Blessed Mother didn't even come by to warn us at all. Heaven is telling us, it almost seems that Heaven sees things differently than we do. Or maybe I should say, we seem to see things differently than Heaven. God sends his mother, our Lord sends his mother to warn us, and we in the church today seem to carry on as business as usual, hardly taking heed of the warnings of a sorrowful mother concerned on our behalf that we, the wayward children, are on the precipice of chastisement for our grave and mortal sins that our nation and culture that we are committing. I think it would behoove many of our priests in many of our parishes to have their homilies and sermons reflect the pleadings of our Blessed Mother. Because with all due respect, either the Blessed Mother is truthfully coming to warn us of a chastisement that will befall us because of the sins of our nation, because of the sins of man, or the Blessed Mother is a liar. And hence we just go on, carry on with our daily lives, ignoring the warnings of the Blessed Mother. And it seems by we carrying on with our daily lives as if she never even came down to warn us in the first place, we, many of us Catholics, by the way we comport ourselves and live our lives, priests and laity, are basically calling the Blessed Mother a liar, a worrywart. But that is not the case. She has warned us as a mother concerned for our salvation and our welfare. It behooves us to take her warnings seriously. Going back here to St. Alphonsus Liguori, he writes, "There is no doubt, says St. Bernard, that Jesus is the only mediator of justice between men and God, who in virtue of his merits can, and according to his promises, will obtain for us pardon and divine grace. But because men recognize and fear in Jesus Christ the divine majesty, which dwells in him as God, it was necessary," and listen to this, "it was necessary that another advocate should be assigned to us to whom we could have recourse with less fear and more confidence. And this is Mary, than whom we can find no advocate more powerful with the divine majesty and more compassionate towards us than Mary. But he would greatly wrong the mercy of Mary," continues the saint, "who should still fear to cast himself at the feet of this most sweet advocate, who is in nothing severe or terrible, but is in all things kind, lovely, and compassionate." Basically, what he's saying here is that many of us, I guess, out of fear of the divine majesty of God, of our Lord, and the righteous anger and wrath of God, may sometimes, out of fear, have that fear to approach this divine majesty. And so what has God given us? God has given us this other advocate, the Blessed Mother. This kind and gentle mother who naturally we, as men and women, would seem to have less of this all-too-human sentiment or feeling of fear in approaching. We may tend to fear, and rightly so, the Divine Majesty himself. But God has given us this other advocate, the Blessed Mother, who seems to draw everyone to her even that much more easily, because she is so kind, loving, and compassionate. What a most extraordinary thought that is. He goes on to write this: "Exceedingly beautiful is the exclamation which William of Paris puts in the mouth of a sinner who has recourse to Mary. 'O Mother of my God, I come to thee full of confidence, even in the miserable state to which I find myself reduced by my sins. If thou dost reject me, I will plead with thee, for in a certain sense thou art bound to help me, since all the church, of the faithful calls thee and proclaims thee Mother of Mercy. Thou, O Mary, art so dear to God that he always graciously listens to thee. Thy great mercy has never failed. Thy most sweet condescension has never despised any sinner, however enormous his sins, who had recourse to thee. What could the whole church falsely and in vain name thee her advocate and refuge of sinners? No, never be it said that my sins prevent thee, O my mother, from exercising the great office of mercy which thou dost hold, by which thou art at the same time the advocate and mediator of peace between God and man, and next to thy Son, the only hope and refuge of sinners. Whatever of grace and glory is thine, even the dignity of being Mother of God itself, if I may so speak, thou owest to sinners, since for their sake the divine word has made thee his mother. Wow. That is a most extraordinary insight there. I'm going to repeat that. If I may so speak, he writes, thou owest to sinners, since for their sake, for the sake of sinners, the divine word has made thee, you, his mother. Goes on to write, far from this divine mother, who has brought forth unto the world the fountain of mercy, be the thought that she could refuse her compassion to any sinner who recommends himself to her. Since then, O Mary, thy office is that of peacemaker between God and man. May thy great mercy, which far exceeds all my sins, move thee to aid me. He goes on to write that, console yourselves, then, O ye faint of heart. I will say with St. Thomas of Villanova, take heart, O miserable sinners, this great virgin, who is the mother of your judge and God, is the advocate of the human race. Who is the mother of your judge and God. And that brings to mind something we have mentioned in previous sessions of the Bible studies that I've done at my parish. And that is that we tend to forget that in our churches, in the tabernacle, resides not just our Eucharistic Lord, but if you think and meditate upon it that much more deeply, the one who is in the tabernacle, the one whom you receive in the most holy communion, he is the one who will be your judge at the time of your death. Think of it next time you go to Holy Communion. Think of it next time you go to Eucharistic adoration or you kneel before the tabernacle. The one whom you're kneeling before in that tabernacle is the one who will judge you at the hour of your death, when you die. Would you not want to go to the tabernacle and converse and speak in most gracious and loving and humble terms to the one who is right in front of you, who will be your judge when you leave this earth? Where today in that tabernacle, he is Lord of mercy. But that same Lord of mercy will be the one who will judge you at your death. Take the opportunity to go and speak to your Lord and judge in the tabernacle of my parish and yours today. St. Alphonsus goes on to write this. Oh, accursed sin that loosens the ties of this blessed friendship. Your iniquities have divided between you and your God. For they make the soul hateful to God, and from a friend it becomes an enemy of the Lord. Again, when you are in a state of mortal sin, you are no longer a friend or a son and daughter of God. If you are in a state of mortal sin, you have made yourself an enemy of God. If you are in a state of mortal sin, you have rejected God and have embraced Satan himself. When you are in a state of mortal sin, God ceases being your father, and Satan then becomes your master. He goes on to write here, to God, the wicked and his wickedness are hateful alike. What then must the sinner do who finds himself so unhappy as to have become an enemy of God? He must find a mediator who will obtain pardon for him and enable him to recover the lost friendship of God. Take courage, says St. Bernard, O sinner, who has lost God. Thy Lord himself has given thee a mediator, even his Son Jesus Christ, who can obtain for thee whatever thou desirest. If you fear because you have offended God, remember that Jesus, with his own lacerated hands, has nailed your sins to the cross and have satisfied the divine justice for them by his death. He has removed them from your soul. But if ever, adds the saint, you fear to have recourse to Jesus Christ because his divine majesty alarms you, since when he became man, he did not cease to be God. If you ever wish for another advocate with this mediator, invoke Mary, for she will intercede for you with the Son, who will surely graciously listen to her. And the Son will intercede with the Father, who can refuse nothing to the Son. And so concludes Saint Bernard, this divine mother, O my children, is the ladder of sinners by which they ascend anew to the height of divine grace. This is my greatest confidence, and this is the whole ground of my hope. The Blessed Mother is always there, waiting and listening for our approach, waiting and listening for us to approach her in humility and remorse for our sins. If you approach the Blessed Mother on your hands and knees, this Blessed Mother will extend her hand and lead you in repentance to her Son. Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Goodbye and God bless.
Christian Roots, hosted by Eliseo Zampanti, here on Radio Maria Canada.